welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, July 19th, 2018. It's a little after 4 UTC as we're starting to record. I'm Sam Minter and Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello!
So, I want to warn people right up front. You know, because there are certain people who have contacted us. I'm talking to you, Bruce. Who
Trump derangement syndrome.
Who have expressed in the past that we're a little bit crazy and off the deep end when we start talking about this Trump-Russia thing, and that we'll look back in a year and be embarrassed at ourselves, etc., and really wishes we would talk about other stuff. This is going to be an all-Russia show.
Russia! Russia! Yeah! Woo! Baby! I'm getting a hat. I sent you the picture of the hat.
Yeah, Yvonne has sent a picture of a MAGA-looking MAGA-looking Trump hat that says Russia, except USA is in white.
Yeah. the hat is all red, right? It's the normal MAGA hat. And so, and the RSI in the hat are red, so they kind of blend in. But in bright white is the USA. It looks great.
So we had a number of things happen, all kinds of revelations, including some new stuff that came out within the last 2 hours before we're recording this show.
I mean, one of the last ones, Russian suspect offered sex for access.
Yes. So,
woo!
Look, so I think
I say something before all of this?
Yes, go ahead, Yvonne.
Like right now, I had to kill 4 black flies tonight at my house.
Okay.
Now, look, I don't understand why the hell we live in Florida.
Yeah.
My air conditioning's always on. I have very tightly sealed windows. I have hurricane windows. Okay. These are glass sealed. I mean, you know, they even like, I mean, you can't even really hear the sound outside through these windows. Okay, they're so thick. Okay, now they won't stop a bullet, but they'll take a flying object that you know at high speed and won't break. Okay,
yes.
So how the hell did I get 4 flies into my damn house? Did they fly in packs?
Or quite possibly. Or all you needed was 1 to come in and lay some eggs.
They lay eggs like that? I mean, they just hatch like in a couple of minutes. I mean, there were 4 of them. They look pretty big, all of them.
Well, not in a couple of minutes. They might have hatched a few days ago.
So what? Did they just hide like that in the house? And they just lay eggs, then hatch, then drive me crazy?
Maybe.
Oh, fuck. Anyway, so all of a sudden, I'm like in the kitchen, and I'm chasing black flies. And I'm like, what the hell? 1. Okay, great. Okay, 2. I'm like, 3. And I'm like, then I'm starting to think, what the fuck am I paranoid? What is, no, come on. I'm imagining the other fly. Oh, no, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hate black flies. I don't really particularly fond to them. I the worst place for those, for whatever the hell damn reason, the Australians told me this is normal. Melbourne, Australia is freaking infested with them for whatever reason. It's really annoying. They're all over the place. But anyway.
Yeah, we don't get very many of the big black flies here, but every summer we get fruit flies and that we have to deal with.
Okay.
You know, whatever happens, it's only for a certain time in the summer, but there's a season at which, like, no matter what we do, I mean, and of course they like fruit that's left out and stuff like that, but no matter how careful
I guess that's how they got the name fruit flies.
Yeah, probably. Now, it's worse sometimes. Like, I was, you know, like, every once in a while I will find something left out that absolutely should not have been left out, and that is bad. But even if we're really careful, in the summer, they'll always show up, you know, so... Anyway, aside from fruit flies, I just wanted to, on Russia, that we do have like this big the whole show is going to be Russia, but we do have a few separate events to look at. And so maybe we'll use those as our sections today. One is, of course, Donald Trump's actual trip to meet Vladimir Putin and have his little summit with him. Number two.
Was it officially a summit or was it a meeting?
A summit isn't an official. It was a summit.
Some people, the thing is that I heard some people like correct it to correct people for some reason. And I'm trying to figure out what the hell's the difference between a summit and a meeting. Number one,
there is no real difference.
Exactly. But you know, some people, that's a summit. It's just a meeting. And I was like, okay, well, what the fuck's the difference? But anyway,
whatever. Anyway, so we had that, we had the, indictment of this Russian woman.
The Red Sparrow. Now,
the Red Sparrow? People are calling her the Red Sparrow?
I've heard this, yes.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, she was going around trying to influence the NRA and various other right-wing groups.
It's on the front page of the New York Times. Marina Butina, suspected secret agent, used sex in covert plan.
Yes, so we will talk about her and everything surrounding her. And then... I guess the last, I mean, you could divide this up in all kinds of different ways. So we'll get all of it one way or another. But the third main section, I think, is the stuff that came out in that article I mentioned just a few minutes ago in the New York Times within the last couple hours, I guess, not a few minutes, that basically talks about how the information about a direct order from Vladimir Putin to Russian government military officials to carry out the plan for 2016 was provided to Donald Trump on January 6, 2017, a couple weeks before his inauguration. And it was very specific, included text messages, other intercepts, included stuff from a, quote, source close to Putin. So the intelligence community is like leaking very intentionally, very detailed information, and possibly in response to the summit stuff we talked about earlier. And also, I guess, I don't know where the right place to fit this in, but also being talked about this, I guess this is part of the summit stuff, is the whole idea that apparently the Trump administration has been entertaining this deal that Vladimir Putin offered at the summit.
Oh my God, Jesus.
About, you know, we'll let Mueller talk to the 12 Russians he's indicted if you'll let us question Browder and McFaul, and we can talk about all that later, and some other people too. So anyway, all of those things, somehow we'll work them out. We'll get them all into the show. The one other thing I was going to mention, and I won't do it because I'm going to jump straight to the thing, but, you know, I've been itching to start talking about books and movies because with the family all gone, I've been watching lots of movies. I've finished some TV shows. I've finished some books. I've got like a ton of these stored up now. And, you know, I was starting to think, okay, I'm going to start a rule where I'm going to do at least one of these per show or I'll never catch up at this rate.
I mean, it's like crazy. I'm looking at the list of your movies. I see movie, book, movie. Let's see. I mean, there. You've got a long list of movies that you haven't talked about here.
Yeah,
I mean, no. It's pretty lengthy, like right now.
Yeah, I do, and a couple books too, and one TV show. You know, so anyway, I will not subject you to
one book, but I already talked about it.
Yeah, right? You already talked about the one about the plane. Yeah. Unless there's another one.
No, I haven't read another one like again, but I didn't finish.
Yeah, I've got a big long list of these, and I was kind of thinking I'll wait till we have a slow show, and then we'll do a lightning round, and I'll do a bunch of those, or maybe I'll just start doing one or two a week. But then we have yet another crazy week, and I think, you know, we're almost 10 minutes into the show right now. We're about 10 minutes into the show. We've already gone on with this intro too long.
Let's be clear. I mean, the level of insanity this week topped every other week, and I'm not
and this,
saying
and this is that something this is you've an said inflection before.
Point, but yeah, but this would just look. I mean, even his, well, how do I say, you know, his sycophantic, you know, fans. Some of them, right? I mean, you had a Newt, even a Newt Gingrich, these people. Well, he made a mistake. And I mean, but it's just, I mean, that's the level that we got this week, which is one of the topics that I know you have. Is like, are we at some kind of breaking point or something?
Or not.
Like right now, or not. Okay. But, you know, it just seemed that the, I mean, especially given everything that happened, that this whole thing just really took quite a bigger fur than, I mean, anything that you, almost anything that we have seen at this point, which is shocking because we've had a lot of fur.
Well, yeah.
Fur.
Fuhrer. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Fur. You're not trying to say you're covered with like fur.
No, not really. No, Fuhrer.
Okay. Fuhrer? Yes, no. Fuhrer.
Okay.
Not like
by the way,
the leader of the Germans. Different Fuhrer.
You know, okay. Another thing, some crazy MAGA guy tried to set on fire, almost did, a whole building full of Jewish people here in South Florida, too.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I found out that it was a security guard from a friend of mine's company is the guy that caught the guy before he had already planted all the gasoline. He was about to light it. It's that close that it got.
Okay.
But I didn't see Trump say anything about that terrorist psychopath.
Anyway. Yes, it has been yet another crazy week on top of many, many crazy weeks. And I don't know if it's...
And the midterms are coming up soon!
And the midterms are coming... I don't know if it's really crazier than other weeks, but it seems like the level of importance of what's being talked about has jumped up a notch.
Yes.
And the way people are talking about things has jumped up a notch.
And it's just, you know, because it wasn't just... Like you said, right, there's a lot of things where you're outraged about a statement or this or that or whatever, right? These were actual actions. There was, you know, actual acts that happened, okay? Not just him, like, saying something that people didn't like at a speech or something. I mean, it was with Putin. It was all the indictments. It was all the activity. I mean, well, just getting off the Europe trip. All the going back and forth where he's like, yes, no, yes, no. It's just, I mean, it would just seem like every day. But we could, you know.
Let's take a break and we will start talking about this for real, starting with the summit itself and what happened there. We will be back right after this. You're listening to this podcast. Do you like it?
No!
Do you want to support the show?
No!
Well, after you have subscribed to the show, followed us on Facebook, and told all your friends they should be listening to, what else can you do?
I won't subscribe!
You can help fund our Patreon at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Patreon is a way you can throw us a few bucks a month to help out with the expenses of the show. You know, web hosting, equipment, a little bit of advertising to promote the show, and maybe every once in a while some much-needed sedatives for Yvonne. At different contribution levels, you can get a mention on the show, our Curmudgeon's Corner postcard, or even a Curmudgeon's Corner mug. Fun stuff.
Not fun.
In any case, the contributions help tell us that you enjoy and appreciate the show.
I really, really hate Curmudgeon's Corner.
Are we worth a buck a month?
No!
$5 a month?
No!
Or if you are nuts about us, maybe even more.
$100 billion, even though you don't have anywhere near $1 billion.
If we're worth anything to you at all, send it our way at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner.
Alex hates, really, really hates, Curmudgeon's Corner! That's really mean, isn't it? But I hate Curmudgeon's Corner, but I really do!
Okay, we are back. So Donald Trump had his summit with Vladimir Putin that he's been anxious to have ever since he became president. He had met Putin once, or was it twice? I think it was at least once. I was sort of on the sidelines of various international meetings. I think it was only once, actually.
I think at least twice. Yeah, I think yeah, at least once, but maybe twice. Maybe.
Anyway, whatever. He had met him before. And if you remember, there was controversy even then because he sort of pulled Putin aside and had some one-on-one time. And this time he had 2 hours approximately alone with Putin with only their translators. Although this time actually was an improvement over the last one where they only had the Russian translator and there was no American translator present at the... so apparently this time there were two translators as well as the principals in the room. They spoke for a couple hours, but no notes. Donald Trump did not want any notes, any recordings, anything like that to happen.
Okay.
And so we have no idea what they talked about. There was an
article. Now they're saying that apparently, like, they made some verbal agreements and everybody's, like, trying to scramble to figure out what the hell they agreed to.
Yes. So there was a Washington Post article, and I'm going to try to refer to these articles when we bring them up, when I can. This was from the Washington Post, published on Wednesday, July 18th. As Russians describe verbal agreements at summit, U.S. officials scramble for clarity. And basically, the gist of this article is that various Russian officials have started to talk about places where verbal agreements were reached between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump about how they would work together in Syria against terrorists or this or that. There were like 5 or 6 different topics.
Cybersecurity, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. And meanwhile, on the American side, none of the agencies that would be in charge of implementing any of this know anything about it. They're like, what? What? And
don't that make sense?
Because, you know, the process of, you know, assuming that these are real, like in a normal administration, first of all, they would have taken notes at the damn meeting. But then if there were any verbal agreements, then though they were very quickly...
It would have been memorialized on a document that they would have signed at the end of the meeting before they left, basically.
At the very least, and then there would be a process whereby it was communicated to everybody who would need to know, and they'd start you know, dealing with the implementation and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And actually, in a normal world, any agreement like that would basically have been all hammered out by the underlings before the meeting even happened.
Right.
You know, because that's how these things have been done in the past. It's not
Look, it's the only way to really do anything, you know, complicated. You know, look, I mean, I just had a meeting today discussing about something specific with a, you know, with some other company, right? Look, I have a document. We were reviewing it. I mean, we were putting this stuff down. I was doing something for my condo association. Look, I have notes from the meeting. I have a written proposal that validates the notes that I had made from the meeting. And I have a legal contract also that our condo attorneys are going to review in order to validate that what we agreed is, you know, based
on. And in the grand scheme of things, no one gives a shit about your condo association, but you've got all these layers on top of it.
But that's my point. Exactly. That's me just for the fucking condo association. This asshole's negotiating for the whole U.S. and he's doing it like this.
Yes. And so we don't know. So on the one hand, it's sort of the best interpretation based on what we know so far is that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin made some handshake agreements on what they were going to do in Syria and maybe about, you know, this deal we alluded to at the end of the last segment about having the Russians be able to question some Americans and the Americans question some Russians and stuff like that. That's the best case scenario. And of course, everybody's going crazy about, well, what the fuck is the worst case scenario? You know, given everything else we've seen, and we haven't even gotten at this point to the news conference. So let's move on to since we don't really know what happened at this secret meeting.
Right.
You know, and we don't know.
We don't know.
Meanwhile, the news conference, the big news that came out of the news conference was Donald Trump basically sounding like, you know, on the 2016 election stuff, oh, well, you know, Vlad told me he didn't do it, so we're okay.
Right.
You know, he was asked directly, you know, who do you believe, your own intelligence community or Vladimir Putin? And his answer made it clear that he, at the very least, he didn't answer. But really, if you look at the context of the whole thing, it made it clear that he would rather go with Vladimir Putin's interpretation of what had gone on. Now, and there's been a lot of speculation about what the deal is here in terms of, you know, is he just completely incapable of addressing this issue? Because if you admitted that there was any Russian manipulation in 2016, it would question the validity of his election and blah, 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 or what, you know? And of course, at this point, you know, I look at all the people sort of trying to say, you know, is Donald Trump stupid? Does he not understand? Is he incompetent? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you fucking morons. He knows they interfered. He was part of it all along. It's like, let's go for the simplest assumption here. Let's use Occam's razor. Yeah, this isn't a matter of him, like, you know, having to do some psychological thing to come up to a conclusion that, of course, they didn't manipulate the election, because then I'd be like, it would impact my ego in some way. I suppose maybe, but it seems much clearer at this point that, you know, he's denying it because it would implicate him.
Right.
You know, and we've got, yes, there's still some circumstantial bits, but we have plenty to go on that would indicate, at the very least, you know, put aside like any legalities of the issue, he knew that Russia was doing stuff to try to help him.
Correct. He
there's no way he didn't.
There's no way he did not know. There is no explanation that is like, well, this all happened and he just wasn't aware. No, he knew. He knew because he, let's be clear, I mean, his buddy Roger Stone actually just basically, number one, got named that indictment as a person that was talking to
not Russians. Explicitly named.
Not explicitly named, except
he was like person number two or something.
Right. He was person number two, except they quoted the text that person number two had said. And
Roger admitted it, that it was him. Yes.
And Roger had shared those texts publicly.
Yes.
Months before.
So we know it was Roger, but he was not named.
Yes. So he was not named. But Mr. Stone said, because the indictment said he talked to upper people in the upper levels of the Republican Party. And Roger Stone's answer to that was,
the only person he talked to was Donald Trump. Yes. And we've got the meeting with Donald Trump Jr. at Trump Tower, and we've got other things. Look, you know, it's getting harder and harder to entertain a scenario where Donald Trump was unaware.
Right.
Yep. You know, I suppose you could still construct some convoluted argument about that,
but it's not a likely scenario. I mean, before we had some scenarios that you could say are likely, where, you know, he didn't know, and, you know, the Russians were just trying to fuck with our election, and they really didn't care about Trump or whatever. But now there is just a bit more and more and more evidence that just shows that scenario is just become from kind of a real possibility to extremely unlikely.
Right. And so everybody started flipping out. Oh, before we talk about everybody flipping out about that, I should also mention Vladimir Putin was directly asked whether he had compromising information on Donald Trump. And although he did say some things like that's silly and some stuff like that, he did not actually deny it at any point. He did not say no.
Is that the right? That are we caught in a Trump?
The like, double negative? Yes, no. Right, he did not say no.
He did not Right. He didn't deny it.
Don't confuse yourself, Ivan.
All right. Anyway, he didn't deny it.
No. And yeah, so this, it was a very surreal thing, and people started flipping out immediately. I was watching Twitter as this was going on, and I was listening to it, and I was watching Twitter, and I started seeing all kinds of, oh my God, you know, I can't believe he said that. And, you know, what the fuck did you people expect?
Exactly.
You know, I'm sorry. Donald Trump did not do anything in that news conference that he has not done a dozen times before. And
that's the one thing that it just stunned me, that everybody was like, so many people were like surprised.
I mean, there is the difference. He did it while standing a few feet away from Vladimir Putin, but he said nothing new. He is, every time he's been asked about, you know, Russian participation in this kind of stuff, he's equivocated and said it could be somebody else. Even when a couple days after this news conference, he tried to walk back some of it because of all the criticism, he still included, but it could be somebody else.
But let's be clear, the note that he had on his desk
didn't
say that.
Yes, yes. He added it.
He had libbed it.
Yes.
Okay.
Because, all right. Because every single time this comes up, he cannot bring himself to say, yes, Russia did this. It's always like, or it could be the 400-pound guy on his bed, or it could be the Chinese, or it could be this, or it could be that. And, you know, he can't come straight out to say it. And again, one way of describing it that I heard, that, you know, is if he admits that it was definitely the Russians, then it legitimizes the Mueller investigation, because one of the specific purposes of the Mueller investigation is to investigate the Russian interference. And if he admits that there really was Russian interference, then suddenly this witch hunt, witch hunt, witch hunt stuff falls a little bit flat.
Right.
So he has to maintain this wall, but it's at this point we've have the detailed indictments. We have this, we have that. And in the last segment, I guess we'll save it. We have this information that Donald Trump apparently was given really detailed information about this like a year and a half ago.
Well, I'm looking at the note. So if everybody didn't grab this, Trump is such a fucking moron that he laid down on the table very clearly the damn crib sheet that he was given to read. Okay? All right. And his incredible notes on it are, the note said, in saying, as I have said before, that I accept our intelligence community's conclusions about Russia's meddling in the 2016 election. So this was his attempt at trying to fix this shit.
Now, to be clear, before you get to his ad libs, this was clearly another Donald Trump hostage negotiator note that he was forced to read by his staff.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
You can tell when these things happened. Same thing, like when he walked back his Charlottesville comments and stuff like this, where he has gone out and really stuck his foot in his mouth in a way where there's bipartisan agreement. So it's not just the Democrats, but the Republicans are freaking out too about some stupid ass shit thing he's said, and his staff basically gets together and is like, look, you really, really have to fix this. You are bleeding. This is hurting. And he hates it, but they'll type up something for him to say that clearly are not his own words, are clearly not something he wants to say, but he'll say, fine, I'll fucking read this. And then he'll go out and he'll read it. And he'll usually do something like this where he adds in some stuff, but he will read the stupid statement. But if you look at him and you look at the way he's reading and the way he's talking, he's clearly hating every second of it.
Well, the thing is, the statement turned into a word salad. Everybody read it in large part because he didn't stick to the damn statement. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then he started ad-libbing into the stupid statement. So after he accepts it, and then he says, but it could have been anybody. And he just had to insert that. And then he had written in big letters that look his handwriting, there was no collusion. Okay, all right. And he can't spell collusion either, yes. But I'm sure you can't spell it either. Okay.
Probably not.
And I thought I made that clear yesterday, but having just reviewed the transcript of yesterday's press conference, come on, he reviewed the transcript. Really?
Yeah, no.
Of course he didn't. I mean, this is stupid.
The whole excuse he made up is the need
for further clarification. Okay? But then the line I love that he deleted off the statement is, I have on numerous occasions noted our intelligence findings that Russians intended to interfere in our elections. And then he crossed out anyone involved in that.
Needs to be brought to justice.
Then that's something that in that to just exactly. But he crossed it out.
Yeah, because he. Yeah, that's not part of his agenda at all.
I mean, what does that tell you about what he thinks about criminal investigations?
Yes.
On this.
And then you I thought you were going to get to the fact that he said he forgot the word not.
Yeah, that was like, well, that was the part before where he said, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. A double negative.
Right. Does anyone fucking believe this?
Of course not.
This is complete and total bullshit. He did not forget the word not. He said exactly what he meant to say. And this gets back to me and all the people expressing such extreme shock over his comments. It's like, or not just the ones expressing shock, but I've seen people try to justify this with, you know, Trump is incompetent. He doesn't know what he's doing. He wasn't briefed well enough. He's confused. And like, these are the defenses, by the way. These are the defenses, and they're all pretty bad as it were. But no, he said exactly what he wanted to say.
100%.
In exactly the way he wanted to say.
100%.
He meant what he said.
Yep.
And this is what he fucking, well, I'm not going to say it's what he believes, because as I said earlier, I think he knows it's false. But this is the message he wants to get out. This is what he wants to say. This is not Trump making a mistake. This is not Trump being naive. This is not Trump quote unquote missing an opportunity to talk to Vladimir Putin seriously about this issue and make it clear that it's important to us and you're not going to get away with this again. This is not Trump missing that opportunity. Trump had no intention of doing anything even remotely like that, because that doesn't push his agenda and what he wants out of this.
I mean, if you're Vladimir Putin, are you not sitting in your office just fucking like, man, I'm a genius? I mean, I'm way too good. This is ridiculous. I mean, this guy is supposedly the president of the United States. This guy could not communicate one fucking message and keep it straight. Okay, all right.
Well, look, here's the thing from Vladimir Putin's point of view. He's in a no-lose scenario, at least in the short term.
Oh, yeah.
Because on the one hand, Donald Trump continues to be Donald Trump and continues to do all this stuff. He is undermining the EU, NATO.
He's doing his job for him.
He's undermining the U.S.'s position internationally, trade-wise. Yep. Yep. He is quite possibly doing something that, while the economy is still going okay today, he's doing a number of things that will
undermine the economy.
Will undoubtedly cause damage in the future. Yep. And so he's doing all kinds of things that just... He's feeding into everything. So on the one hand, you got that. On the other hand, if Donald Trump starts to crash and burn and the U.S. goes even further into, you know, let's have impeachment trials or the president indicted or the president's family indicted.
Putin's still in they got to feel good about himself.
Oh, yeah, because then you're still like – what the best case scenario here is that, like, well, I don't know. Assuming Donald Trump is as bad as you and I think he is, the best case scenario is the Republicans finally start coming on board and saying, okay, we really do have to get rid of him. We really would like Pence better. Let's do this. You still have months and months and months of utter chaos while that plays out.
Right.
And we're probably not going to get that, by the way. But what you see is the U.S. continuing to rip itself apart on these fault lines between the those of us like you and me who think Trump is the worst thing ever and the MAGA folks.
Yep.
You know? And those divisions are intensifying and getting worse and worse and worse. Putin wins all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what. No matter what. You know, and so, yeah.
Yeah, he's feeling really good about himself.
Now, people have pointed out, long term,
this may come to really fucking bite him in the ass. Yeah,
because regardless of what happens, whether it's, you know, earlier or at the end of Trump's first term, or God forbid, at the end of Trump's second term, at some point, there will be a new president who is not compromised in whatever the fuck ways Donald Trump is.
Because he's got to be. He has to be. There is just no other fucking.
And at the end of that time period, the whoever comes next, whatever relationship with Russia will be completely blown up, you know, because there may be some level of immunity as long as Donald Trump is there. As soon as he's not there, it's not going to be, everything's forgiven. Let's shake our hands. Let's be good. No, it's going to be like, you royally fucked us over. And we're going to remember that a long time.
You're going to pay the price for this shit.
Yeah. One way or another. And so long term, this is, you know, Donald Trump keeps saying, you know, look, we want to have good relationships with Russia. And so, you know, we're not going to make a big deal of this because, you know, we want to improve the relationships and let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about the future, blah, 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 blah. In the end, this is going to, you know, get worse. It's just a question of when.
Yep.
So anything else specific about the summit, Yvonne? I feel like those were the main bits, but
I think the one thing that we didn't mention, I don't think, because I think it happened after we recorded the last show, was as he was leaving the NATO summit that he was asked who was the biggest foe.
Oh, yes.
Of.
And it's the EU. US.
And it's the EU. I mean, that one really sent a lot of people, even I know a lot of people, Republican, also sent them back for a what?
Yeah. I guess one other thing about this, and I think it's even more so once we talk about some of the later things, but I think the turning point was the summit itself. The day after the summit, you started hearing mainstream Democrats talk about Donald Trump's obviously compromised. What do the Russians have on him? You saw former CIA director Brennan say that this behavior was traitorous. This is the kind of language that we've seen for a long time from sort of radical Democrats who are, you know, sort of the
But now everybody was saying.
But now, like, but you saw the elected.
I heard this even from Republicans.
Even some Republicans. But I think the key point here is, like, the mainstream Democrats in Congress have, for the most part, avoided that kind of language. They've said, like, let's let the investigation play out. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's do this. They've to some degree, they've acknowledged how angry their base is, but they haven't gone there themselves. They've talked about.
Well, but in large part is because we ain't going anywhere with that damn thing. Okay. Look, let's be clear. It's not, I don't think that it's not that people didn't think that, but it's like also what, you know, you can bring all the articles of impeachment you want. Or we don't have the votes. Not going to happen. I mean, the Republicans, you know, are in love with this guy.
Yeah, but what you saw this week is the Democratic electeds have started to say, we're going to say this stuff out loud. We're going to, you know, start talking about whether Donald Trump is compromised, whether the Russians have something on him, what his motives are, whether he's actually being, you know, whether he's actually trying to do bad things, you know, whereas that had been off limits in the mainstream stuff. And this goes for the press as well. Like, you know, there's certain folks who have been saying this, but the sort of straight news people, you know, as much as the right says, like, you know, CNN and stuff is all biased, or the New York Times or Washington Post, all of those places have been very, very careful with their language and to sort of present, here are the facts we know, and not get too far ahead of ourselves and not try to read things into his motives or not do this. All of these places are now being a lot freer to say, there's something going on here. You know, yes. And maybe we don't have all the connections yet. Maybe we don't know, but there is something going on here that can't simply be explained away. And all of these outlets have tried so hard to explain it away and trying to find those benign interpretations of what's going on and try to fit it into the normal paradigms of politics, of, you know, well, he's doing this and you just feel, you know, he has this viewpoint about this or that, and or he's transactional or he's new and he didn't understand and blah, 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 all of this kind of stuff. They've been doing everything they could to try to explain things in a calm, normal sort of way, like any other politician could potentially be doing this stuff. I mean, they've pointed out how extraordinary some of this stuff is, but they've tried to put it in a context that seemed somewhat normal. And now you've got even the mainstream folks starting to go into conspiracy theory territory. And it's because there's fucking enough evidence now that it's hard to look the other way.
Right.
And so I think that's an important turn. You know, one of the questions I had about this whole thing and what's been going on this week is, have we reached a turning point? Because also another thing here was a whole bunch of Republicans, as you said, started piling on too, specifically about the summit. But here's the thing. At least on the Republican side, this has happened before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When we had the pussy tape.
Yeah.
When we had him going after John McCain. When we had him going after the Gold Star family. When we had the Charlottesville right. comments. And you could probably name a half dozen more if you spent some time thinking about it. There were situations where a whole bunch of Republicans were backing off, distancing themselves, saying, this is reprehensible, you can't go there, this is stupid, whatever. But then it blows over in one way or another. And one of the ways that it is sometimes blown over is where they do get Donald Trump to come out here and read the fucking statement that his staff wrote for him, backing off whatever he said before. And then all of these elected Republican type folks will be like, oh, well, he misspoke. So he meant the right thing. He's clarified now, so everything's okay. And then they'll forget about it again. And the Democrats, while they won't necessarily accept that explanation, still it fades away because there's another outrage next week. And so the question is this different? Is this significantly different?
I think that there has been more impact to this, but I'm not willing to count this as some kind of a tipping point of some kind.
I had predicted earlier this week that by Saturday we'll be talking about something else. By Saturday this will blow over.
It may well be, but I do think, though, that the bad taste in everybody's mouth about this doesn't just go away, even if we may be talking about something different. I think that the narrative of him being compromised is one now that just doesn't easily get dismissed as crazy talk. Mm-hmm. Okay?
the generous interpretation is still that A, he can't admit anything about 2016 because it would call into question the legitimacy of his election and that would hurt his ego too much. And B, he just has this natural affinity towards strongmen and dictators. And so he really does like Vladimir Putin and wants to be his best buddy and wants to work with him and doesn't give a shit about these EU people because they're a bunch of annoying twits, whatever.
I still, that's the benign explanation.
Which, by the way, is not that good.
No, but I still don't buy that that's the explanation, man. If you're the president of the United States and he talks about projecting strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does going up there?
How does this look strong to anybody?
Exactly. To anybody. It looks like you basically just went over there just to freaking be Putin's lapdog. It doesn't look strong at all. That's what he kept talking about, Obama. Oh, he was always weak, blah, blah, blah. Jesus Christ, you want to talk about looking weak? My God.
Yeah. So, I mean, because just even in that press conference, he constantly sort of deferred to Putin and, like, you know, said he actually used the words, you know, his denial was very, very strong. And he practically said virile, you know, it's like he looked like he was sucking up to Putin, even in that news conference. He did yes. not. It did not look like a situation of equals. It looked like
not at all.
You know,
it looked like he was the junior guy at that stage.
Right. And Putin clearly, you know, was in control of that situation from beginning to end. And I don't necessarily mean like pulling Trump's strings, but maybe. But
just in terms of like controlling the room, controlling the conversation, what was happening, how this was being steered. I mean, Trump was just being led around like he's just like what he is.
Well, if nothing else, you know, even aside from all the nefarious stuff, Trump notoriously doesn't prepare for shit. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't understand details. Vladimir Putin does. You know, he'll come in there with, you know, specifics about a thing and he'll know his stuff and he'll know exactly what he's trying to get out of a conversation.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. He threw him this fucking Browder stuff and the McFall stuff. And like Trump is like, instead of dismissing out of hand, he's like, oh, we'll consider it. I mean, good God.
Because you got to know, there's a 50-50 chance Donald Trump didn't even know who these people were.
Probably, yes. I mean, and he just went and just, you know, I mean, just bit the freaking, like, took the bait on that. And whether, you know, I think Putin probably knew that his advisors later would explain it to him. But once again, it makes him look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm. And his advisors explaining it, quote unquote, there are a couple of things on there. His advisors tried to explain a bunch of things to him before this summit, apparently. The Washington Post did a lot of reporting on this, where, you know, they prepared briefing books and they prepared materials and they tried to tell him stuff. And he basically tried to set it up where he would come in and present a very strong position to Putin about the election interference and about Crimea and a bunch of other stuff. And Donald Trump threw it out the window and ignored it and did his own thing anyway. And of course, he didn't read any of it, but he also just didn't have any desire to pay any attention to it. It was all irrelevant.
Right.
And this is a pattern you see over and over again with this man. And so that's sort of the, again, looking at the benign interpretation being that he's utterly and totally incompetent, doesn't know what he's doing, and is blustering his way through this and failing utterly. But I don't think the benign interpretation is enough to explain everything at this point. It just isn't. You need some part of the something else is going on here that's deeper that we don't know all the details of yet.
Right.
The one other thing to note, I guess, is on the way home, apparently he was dumbfounded by the negative reaction because he thought he did great. And with that, let's take a break. And we'll talk about our new Russian spy next, I guess. What did you say she was? The Red Sparrow.
The Red Sparrow.
Red Sparrow. I hadn't heard that before you mentioned it, but okay, she's the Red Sparrow.
Yep, I had heard that being said recently, yes.
Wasn't the Red Sparrow like a fictional thing?
There was a movie recently that came out about, some Russian, like, sex, you know, like, spy thing, very powerful, murdering.
Red Sparrow, 2018.
Yeah.
About the movie, Jennifer Lawrence is Dominika, a former ballerina forced to enter Sparrow School, a secret government program that trains young recruits to manipulate, seduce, and kill.
Exactly.
She emerges as a dangerous agent, but is trapped in a world she desperately wants to escape. With the lives of her loved ones at risk, Dominika must find a way to take back control and serve justice to those who betrayed her.
Yep.
Rotten Tomatoes score 47%.
Yep.
Okay.
I did not watch it, by the way. I just know that,
it existed.
It exists, yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll be back and talk about Red Sparrow, not the movie. The other person who's being called that. Back after this.
Hey, we know when you listen to this show, you have thoughts about what we say. You probably want to vent about what we got wrong or what we left out, right? Or maybe you want to suggest some future topics we just haven't gotten to yet. Well then, tell us all about it. Right now, there are 4 ways to get feedback to us. First, you can go to the Curmudgeon's Corner Facebook page and leave comments on the post where we announce all the new episodes. Second, you could go to curmudgeonscorner.com, that's with a hyphen, and leave a comment there instead. Third, both Yvonne and I are on Twitter. You can talk to me at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E, or Yvonne at I-M-B-O, I-M-B-O-U. Finally, if you don't want to make your comments in a public forum like that, just email me directly at abulsme@abulsme.com. Again, that's A-B-U-L-S-M-E. But, you know, if you don't want us to mention your feedback on the show, be sure to say so, because otherwise we're probably going to respond to your comments on a future show, because, you know, that's what makes the discussion. Thanks, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, we are back. So the woman we're talking about, her real name is Maria Butina.
Right.
And she's 29 years old, and she's been in the U.S. With a student visa and something else before then, but she's been in grad school in D.C., and she's been doing some other stuff, and everything she's been doing has been pretty much public. There have been news articles that were written about her a year ago that talked about some of the stuff she was doing. She was on video asking Donald Trump a question at some event about Russia. So, like, people knew her name. She was out there. Now, I didn't know her name, I'll be honest. I hadn't. Yeah.
They said something that also that, I mean, they'd seen her at a lot of big events as
well. And somebody posted a thread of pictures with of her with all kinds of Republicans that unfortunately included one picture in the Oval Office of a woman that turned out not to be her.
Not to be her. That's correct. That was like later.
And so someone pointed out, like, especially like these days, you got to be super fucking careful about that kind of stuff, because as soon as you get one thing wrong like that, you know, everybody will jump on you about fake news and blah blah blah. So, you know, it's worth taking the extra time to confirm those things. But in any case, she's been around, and she's been on a campaign to almost everything she's done has related to the NRA in one way or another, but apparently she's worked with other nonprofits as well and other Republican operatives outside of the NRA as well. But apparently there's this, you know, what the allegation is that this wasn't just, you know, some ambitious 20-year-old who was going around deciding that she was going to get involved in NRA politics. And of course I say NRA, I'm talking about the National Rifle Association. And But instead, this was a specific Russian intelligence op. There was, you know, she had a certain connection that she worked with back in Russia to coordinate what she was doing and why. Alexander Torshin, who was her liaison to the Kremlin after she began working in the U.S., and who she'd worked with in Russia before, that she, you know, was basically doing an op to make sure that, you know, connections were made with the NRA and that portion of the Republican Party who was heavily involved in the NRA to set up back channels of communications back to the Kremlin, and also just to influence and, you know, be involved in discussions to sort of lead things in the way that they hope to go, and just to collect intelligence as well, just to find out what was going on and all kinds of things like that. And you know, as you mentioned in our first segment, she was part of this that's come out is she was involved in you know, she was living with one guy who yes. was involved in this. And apparently she had tried to exchange sex with somebody else for in order to get a position within another organization, mm-hmm. et cetera. And there's more undoubtedly going to come out about this as we go through this and learn everybody involved and how this worked and blah, blah, blah. So far, all she has been charged with is failing to register as a foreign lobbyist. The same thing that Mike Flynn was charged with, you know, because theoretically, most of what she was doing, if not all of what she was doing, could be legal if she'd just registered and said, yeah, this is what I'm doing. I'm, you know, I'm here lobbying on behalf of Russia to various political organizations. And, but, you know, here, that's my job. I'm a Russian lobbyist, you know, right. But she didn't register. But it sounds like, yeah, it sounds like she was, you know, basically operating as a spy, although it's one of these weird things. It's like, you know, you think of spies and you think undercover and fake identities and blah, blah, blah. You know, this was all out and open. She used her real name. She was on LinkedIn. She showed her history of the various places in Russia she worked before she did this. And then she it's all right out there. There were news stories about her. There were you both in the Russian press and the American press talking about what she was doing and the fact that she was involved with the NRA and all this kind of stuff. It was all right out there. That's not what you think of when you think of spies.
No, but I do think that, you know, hey, that's also a very brilliant strategy to be out in the open, because if what you're doing is at the high level, oh, I'm just a lobbyist and whatever, but you're lobbying illegal money or you're doing something else or whatever, what better way to do it while having some full cover that that you're like this person who is respectable doing all this stuff and whatever?
Yeah. So I guess the couple interesting things here. I mean, one is okay. We've got a Russian agent apparently, you know, using good old fashioned sex to get involved yep. in various places, as well as other techniques. This is not the only thing she did, by the way, right. But it apparently was part of her arsenal. But it's part of more and more that's been coming out about the NRA too, as potentially being a conduit to funnel money from various
funnel. Well, I guess, but that's part of the scheme as well. But anyway, go ahead.
Yes. To funnel money from various places, some of which were foreign, some of which were Russian, through the NRA, through two political campaigns, including Donald Trump's, but not limited to Donald Trump's.
Right.
And that I think we've just started to hear about that. There's more investigation going on there as well. But this, I think, potentially ties to where this, when all is said and done here, I think this goes beyond Trump and his family. You know, I think we're going to get, yeah, we've now had, we know of two Republican Congress people who are tied in with this stuff already. One who's been named, one who has not. Rohrenbacher apparently was directly...
Rohrenbacher or Rohrbacher?
I don't know. whatever. Do we have to care?
Rettenbacher.
No, not Rettenbacher.
Oh, that's corn, right? Popcorn. That's popcorn. Yeah.
Anyway, Rohrenbacher was...
What the fuck is his name?
Rohrenbacher was apparently directly connected...
Rohrenbacher.
Rohrenbacher. Do we have to talk about pronunciation every show?
Dana Tyrone.
Okay. Anyway, he's
a white dude. The head, anyway.
He's been directly connected to Butina. Yep. And then there is another Republican congressional candidate who was tied in with the indictments from last Friday. So my gut is telling me, there's one of the places Bruce is probably long gone by now, but it's one of the places where, my gut is telling me with no evidence that's out in public yet, nothing I've heard secret, but my gut is telling me this thing is going to reach into Congress in a non-trivial way before we're done, you know, with various Congress people being also compromised in some way or another, with at the very least Russian money coming from somewhere or other.
I would love that it's Nunes, but I don't think I'm going to get, I don't know. Maybe I won't get my wish. Maybe I will.
I don't know. And I could be incredibly wrong, but it really seems to me, I know all these Republican Congress people are afraid of Trump for political reasons because they're afraid of losing primaries and all this kind of stuff. But the complete lockstep on this, I just have trouble believing that's all there is to it.
I think, you've got a combination of things, but in part they are lemmings.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about this. That is a problem. Okay. That is not, you know, an insignificant aspect of this. But I think they feel like they're fucked. It doesn't matter what. I think some of them do. Because look at what's his name in South Carolina. What's his name? The Appalachian Trail guy.
I forget his name.
Sanford. So. Look, he went all out on the anti-Trump thing, and he lost his primary. He lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was close, by the way. It was close to 50-50, okay? He didn't get blown out, but still, you know, he did it, and he lost. And so, I think the thing is either I could lose.
The fear is not unfounded.
No.
No.
Not at all. So, and I think that they may be gambling. Look, whatever. You know, I don't know. If I go right now, I for sure will lose the primary. Probably, right? So, why don't I just, you know, ride this stupid thing into the general and then, you know, just see what happens. You've had a whole bunch of others that have decided to retire.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people. I mean, look at, what's his name? That idiot in Utah.
Romney?
Was it Chaffetz?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Chaffetz that decided to retire early and some of these others and whatever. And, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, Ryan, for God's sakes. Jesus, he decided to call it quits.
Maybe there's nothing there, but wouldn't at least some of them just be able to stand up and say, you know, I don't give a fuck if I don't get reelected. There's something here. We really need to investigate it for real, not this bullshit kind of investigation.
Has anybody that has been called themselves a Republican lately shown you to be a person that it seems to be of any ethical, moral standard? That is running for office, I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I am struggling to go and, like, name one. Okay, Kasich. Okay. I don't agree with all those folks. Okay, I'll give you Kasich. All right, after Kasich, I'm really running low on people.
Yeah. And this, again, like, I used to have some faith that there were some, you know, Republicans that I disagreed with, but would fundamentally be people of integrity. I'm just not seeing it right now. No one's standing up in the way that, you know, like the best we've got are some of these statements that come out after the summit
where people statements.
And yeah, they'll make a statement. They won't do jack shit.
They won't do jack shit, but they'll lay out the statement.
They'll lay out the statement and then they'll accept the very first apology that comes along. You know, Donald Trump's stupid. Oh, I misspoke. Okay, good enough. I
misspoke.
Good enough. Oh, yeah,
we're covered. We're fine. Yep. It was just, you know, he just said the wrong thing. Next!
So, but anyway, the point of Butina again is that this wasn't even part of the Mueller investigation. This isn't related to Trump-Russia. This is a separate thing that was going on. And
well, they had a gazillion things going on, the fucking Russians, all over the damn place. It's not just one thing.
And I recognize
it's all over the fucking place.
And I recognize why this feels like to some like this is McCarthyite paranoia. Like the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. You know, oh, let's look under the seat cushions. There might be a Russian, you know, and it starts to feel like that a little bit. But we're seeing real things here. This isn't just like.
This isn't made up shit. There is a lot of evidence behind all of this.
Right. I said last week when we talked about this that I think we know the general outlines of what was going on with the 2016 manipulation. I still think that's true. However, there's a lot of other stuff going on too. I think we are just seeing the tip of this iceberg right now, and that there's still lots of revelations to come that, and some of them will just be fleshing out details on things we already know, but we will probably get at least a few things that make our jaws drop that aren't even in the public conversation yet.
Yeah. The crazy thing, right, is that, you know, all these indictments Mueller laid out, right, just right before the summit. And then we found out this weekend that, you know, everybody's saying, oh, look at the timing. It did it on purpose to undermine Trump. And then we find out that Rosenstein went up, told Trump and said, dude, look, this is all going to happen. Do you want us to hold off after you have the meeting with Putin? And he said, no, fine. Go ahead. Do it.
Yep.
And then he'd been railing against the witch hunt. The people time, blah, 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 blah. What the fucking. Yeah. You know, hey, I've just. That was just ridiculous.
So the other interesting thing about Butina, though, that is also part of this, she's been cooperating with investigations. Like, she apparently testified to Congress a couple months ago, and she's offering... Oh.
You think they showed her a picture of how the ADF Supermax in Florence looks like? I'm like... As a matter of fact, she heard that they sent her. I mean, they asked for her. She's a flight risk and actually are holding her.
Right. So here's an interesting bit that I want to throw in about her. So the person that she was in the relationship was Paul Erickson, who's a 56-year-old Republican operative who, amongst other things, this is an interesting thing, amongst other things, he was the national political director of Pat Buchanan's campaign.
Well, that makes sense.
And he was also the lawyer for John Wayne Bobbitt.
I heard. I saw that.
So everything just connects together. But a number of people posted that he's having a really bad day today. As these things come out, because in the indictment, that was presented. Actually, it was the additional information that was presented when they said that she shouldn't get bail.
Right.
So I'll read this paragraph. During the course of this investigation, the FBI has determined that Butina gained access through U.S. Person 1, that's Paul Erickson, to an extensive network of U.S. persons in positions to influence political activities in the United States. Butina, age 29, and U.S. Person 1, age 56, are believed to have cohabitated and been involved in a personal relationship during the course of Butina's activities in the United States. But this relationship does not represent a strong tie to the United States, because Butina appears to treat it as simply a necessary aspect of her activities. For example, on at least one occasion, Butina offered an individual other than U.S. Person 1 sex in exchange for a position within a special interest organization. Further, in papers seized by the FBI, Butina complained about living with U.S. Person 1 and expressed disdain for continuing to cohabitate with U.S. Person 1. And so the speculation is this is how Erickson found out about all this.
Oh,
and also, oh,
man, that's pretty brutal.
And also, it was reported today that she is offering to cooperate further in the case that is currently being investigated against U.S. Person 1, Paul Erickson, for various sorts of bank fraud.
Oh!
So she'll testify against him on the bank fraud and whatever else the hell they've got him on in exchange for being treated better on her case.
Isn't that lovely? Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Here you go. So that guy really is having a, you know, that's a really bad day. One day.
So, and on a number of these, one, and we talked about this with the indictments last week, and then we'll move on after this. But we talked about how the fact that all of these indictments are talking about these U.S. Person 1, U.S. Person 2, U.S. Person 3, who have not yet been indicted. The word yet is probably very important there.
Yep.
Because now, not all of them will probably be indicted. And there's certainly been some language in some of these indictments indicating that the other people who are involved didn't know what was going on. They were being used or manipulated and did not necessarily have intentions that would make them culpable for crimes as well. But in certain of these cases, it seems clear that it's just a matter of time until these various people are also going to be indicted.
Probably, I'm sure.
You know, so.
Indicted!
We'll see how it goes. Okay, let's take a break. And then we will talk about the New York Times article from Wednesday, July 18th, talking about, to use the Watergate phrase, what did the president know and when did the president know it? We'll be back right after this.
AlexandTheWet.com, being Alex and Dad. Gaming videos and more from Alex. Elementary school by day, YouTube by night, AlexandTheWet.com. AlexandTheWet is AlexMxela, and .com is period and then com.
Okay, we are back. So the main topic of this segment is going to be based on a New York Times article published July 18th by David Sanger and Matthew Rosenberg. The headline is, "From the Start, Trump Has Muddied a Clear Message. Putin Interfered." Now, I actually think that's a really bad headline. Like, if I saw that headline and didn't see the other buzz about this article, I might not even have read it. Because, come on, we know that Donald Trump has been, you know, talking about how there's nothing here, blah, 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 from the beginning. This is not news. But if you actually read the article, there are a whole bunch of bombshells in here. So let me read you the first couple paragraphs of the article, because a lot of the meat is there. 2 weeks before his inauguration, Donald J. Trump was shown highly classified intelligence indicating that President Vladimir V. Putin of Russia had personally ordered complex cyber attacks to sway the 2016 American election. The evidence included texts and emails from Russian military officers and information gleaned from a top secret source close to Mr. Putin, who had described to the CIA how the Kremlin decided to execute its campaign of hacking and disinformation. Mr. Trump sounded grudgingly convinced, according to several people who attended the intelligence briefing. But ever since, Mr. Trump has tried to cloud the very clear findings that he received on January 6, 2017, which his own intelligence leaders have unanimously endorsed. Now, this article has all kinds of additional information, but the key bits here are right there. And what's interesting is not just, you know, okay, Donald Trump was told about this in January, because we knew that. We knew that there had been a presentation to Donald Trump where they talked about the fact that the 2016 election had, you know, been manipulated by the Russians in various ways. It is the same meeting, by the way, that everybody left except Comey, and then Comey told him about the P-tape, you know, and the dossier and all of that kind of stuff. So same meeting. So we've known that this meeting existed. What is new here is the information about how detailed the intelligence was. And it's very significant that this is leaking, because this is the kind of sources and methods kind of highly sensitive stuff that the intelligence community does not like to give away. You know, we're talking about here revealing that we have access to texts and emails going back and forth with Russian military officers, and there's a top secret human source close to Mr. Putin. You've got to think, like, when this is published, my first thought was that man is dead. You know, or man, woman, who knows who it is. It's like, you know, there, if they have not, if that person has not already been pulled out to somewhere safe or has not already been killed, then they are in extreme danger right now. You know, and so for the intelligence community to burn a source like that, either they already know he's dead or safe, or they have determined that things are getting so bad, probably because of the stuff at the summit, that they need to start releasing this stuff and make it clear. Like, because Donald Trump is going on at the summit about, like, I don't know what's going on. It could be somebody else. I believe Mr. Putin, blah, 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 blah. But here he was given this incredibly detailed information before he was even inaugurated that basically proves this beyond a shadow of a doubt. And nevertheless, for the last year and a half, he's gone on and on and on about how, I don't know. It could be Russia. It could be somebody else. Blah, 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 blah.
Could be.
And, you know, I don't know. The I've seen, the 20 quick, 20 quick, can't say it. 20 committee, on Twitter. What's his real name? I forget. John something.
Walsh.
No, not Walsh. But he's the former intelligence community guy who's been tweeting about this stuff all along. And we've sometimes said, this looks like counter information warfare, because he's he's been involved with Louise Manchin, talked to, you know, blah, blah, blah. So sometimes the stuff coming out of him has seemed fairly unreliable, but he's been one of the people pounding his fist on the table, basically from the beginning, saying, look, the intelligence community knows everything. Donald Trump is going to die in jail. You know, it's only a matter of time. There is really bad stuff here, and, you know, it's going to come out. And he was, you know, posting a sort of, some I told you so's, when this came out, but it certainly seems like this is another area where, look, there's all kinds of detailed information about what happened here. It hasn't all become public yet. The intelligence community, who was already not happy with Donald Trump before, the stuff with the summit has enraged them even further. And so we're seeing leaks like this. This is a substantial, substantial leak. And, you know, later down on the article, it says they actually have like something like a dozen sources behind some of this. This is not like, you know, a single source, somebody said, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot behind this. And you've got And a lot of these, some of these leakers, I mean, we're talking about something that happened before Donald Trump was inaugurated. There are a lot of Obama admin people who are involved in this as well, I guess if you're a MAGA person, you immediately assume that means it's all a lie. Okay, so I don't know. What do you think, Yvonne? This seems like a big deal to me that this particular stuff leaked out.
Well, I mean, it was a little bit shocking. I mean, especially the details of the whole thing. I think that he took an unprecedented step this week by going up there and basically bashing what he did on the opposite end. I think that that was I think that's why it came out. I mean, the steps that he took are steps that I don't think a U.S. president had ever done ever. I mean, and to many people that had been in intelligence, that's what you read on Twitter. I mean, they were all like, dude, is this guy really compromised by the Russians? I mean, it was like, there was just no other explanations for what the hell he's doing. So I think it's a very difficult situation for anybody that's there, I think.
Right. I mean, and you've seen, on some of the stuff that Donald Trump has been saying related to the summit, you've seen his defense secretary, his secretary of state, his national security, a bunch of these people have sort of backed off a bit or tried to contain this. So it's clear, like, what's new, him and his administration aren't entirely in sync with each other on any of this stuff. But the problem is, anybody gets too far out of line, they know they could be fired at any moment. Not that Donald Trump has appeared very good at that.
No.
But they know they're...
Well, they fire you by tweet.
He could. But they know they're in a fairly precarious position, right? Like, they can't... so there was a lot of talk about, should all these people resign or what?
Well, look, I see the person. You think about that statement, how it was put together, the one that he was reading, right?
Yeah.
Okay, related to this, right? Obviously, that was written by a person that obviously felt very strongly that what he said was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Or several people, probably, but yeah.
Several people. But I guess that somehow they feel they need to suck it up?
Well, and this is one of the things, people kept talking about this after the summit. One of the things that people said, and we keep coming back to the summit. I'm sorry. These other two topics are sort of all spinning around it.
Yes.
But, people were saying, are administration officials going to resign? Is somebody actually going to resign because this is past some sort of line and blah, 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 blah. It's been a few days. No one's resigned so far. Maybe someone still will. But fundamentally, I think all of these people who are in one of two categories. One, they're a true believer, in which case,
right.
Why would they resign? Forget. They're with Donald Trump all the way.
Right.
Or number two, and most of the people who are originally in this group are already gone. But I think there are some still there who feel like it is their duty to work in the Trump administration in part to be the adult supervision and keep him under control and try to make sure no matter what he's saying or doing or blowing up about today, that they keep doing a sort of a normal, rational thing behind the scenes.
Somehow.
Or ignored. Or ignored. Like in many cases, right. What seems to be happening is Donald Trump will go on whatever rant he's on, and then the people underneath just keep doing what they were doing anyway.
Or they will go like in the NATO summit and said, don't worry about it. It's fine. Just ignore the idiot, in the White House.
But the problem is people are no longer believing that, in the first year of Donald Trump, a lot of folks internationally, especially and domestically as well, were sort of like, oh yeah, that's just his act. Donald Trump does that. Ignore him. The people below him in the administration are serious about policy. We'll figure out what to do, blah, blah, blah. Just whatever Donald Trump says will blow over. But with the constant repetition of this and the firing of some of the people that were trying to keep things on an even keel and ignore what Donald Trump was saying or doing, a lot of them are gone. And some of the ones that aren't gone are rumored to be potentially gone before too much longer.
Kelly being one of them,
who are clearly losing influence. Also Kelly, like Kelly's still there, but we've heard almost nothing from him in a few months now. You know, he sort of disappeared from the visibility he used to have.
I mean, somebody had rumored like recently that he had been calling congressmen, lobbying them to go after Trump about what he said about NATO, I think it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was actually this week, within the last few days, reacting to the summit, you know, basically. And the only explanation for that is like, look, he's not going to listen to it coming from me.
Right.
You need to call him.
Yeah.
And the fact that, how did I even forget this? The whole private meeting with Donald Trump and Putin in the first place, Donald Trump's explanation of that was actually, and I don't know who leaked this or how, but it certainly came out, was
because he doesn't trust anybody in his staff.
The reason he wanted that meeting was because he felt if the staff was allowed in that meeting, they would undermine him in one way or another.
Or leak it or whatever or something.
Undermine it, leak him, try to get him not to do what he wanted to do, etc. So there's no trust whatsoever between Donald Trump and his staff. And I don't think that's in either direction. This is so completely dysfunctional.
Yeah.
You know, and again, there's the balance that we're constantly trying to figure out in terms of how much of this is just pure incompetence, stupidity, etc., versus how much is malevolent intent. And I think that's one of the things where it's tipping closer and closer to the malevolent intent side, with a good, healthy helping of incompetence, by the way. I think.
Oh, there. I
think like any of the negative scenarios where Donald Trump is doing something specifically because of some quid pro quo with Vladimir Putin, or because there's blackmail going on or whatever else like that, they all rely on the fact that Donald Trump is incompetent, you know, that whether it's bribery, extortion, blackmail and extortion are the same thing. Whether it's something else, you know, all of these work because Donald Trump is an idiot. If Donald Trump was actually smart, he wouldn't get suckered into anything like that. So whether it's incompetence alone or incompetence plus that stuff, the effect in the end is the same. Although if it's not just incompetence, if it's incompetence plus something where Donald Trump and Putin are directly coordinating anything, it becomes so much worse. And I think the main shift we've had on the left of the political spectrum anyway in this last week is that, you know, I said this earlier, the mainstream is now openly contemplating the various...
That this is true.
That this is true. It's not just incompetence. It's what the fuck? The Russians have to have something on him. There has to be something going on here, because otherwise, what would possibly explain this? And all of the people who are trying to figure out how to make this fit into a benign explanation are having more and more trouble doing so. And, you know, I count myself as one of those. I mean, I on the one hand, I've been eagerly like, oh my God, wouldn't it be, you know, quote unquote, cool in terms of fun and exciting to talk about if in fact we had a Manchurian candidate here and blah, blah, blah. But I've been trying all along to say, okay, but the evidence isn't there yet. It's, you know, what about this benign explanation? And what about this? And, you know, they were all pretty bad because it's all just, he's an idiot and incompetent and just has bad motivations on his own, you know, because he's a racist and whatever else, without having to bring Russia into the equation at all. But it's harder and harder to maintain that view of there's nothing else there. Again, it's not impossible. There's still, you know, you can come up with a scenario where it's just all about Donald Trump and his own psychological bullshit. But I think it really is hard to believe that there's not something else there at this point. And the question is, how deep is it? What is it? But not if there's nothing. I mean, you know, the Trump Tower meeting alone may not seem like there was all that much happening, but already there you've got, you know, cooperation, which is what collusion means.
Yep.
So I wonder what next week will bring us, Yvonne.
More indictments.
More indictments. Yeah. I don't know. It may be soon for that, but could be more indictments, more Russians, more. And don't forget, we also had all these other countries trying to get involved too, especially in the Gulf region, and there's stuff going on there too. And, we're back on the Russia stuff here, but let's not forget all of the other corruption and emoluments and, everything else we've talked about over the last couple of years. This is multifaceted and goes into all kinds of things. It's not, you know, even if the Russian connection didn't exist, there's probably plenty that if we had, you know, a rational system here, this guy could be going to jail for.
Yes.
You know, but it looks like there is a Russian connection of some sort.
Yep. On top of everything else.
It's just a question, what exactly was it? And just how bad was it? And I'm thinking we will find out. Things seem to be accelerating, which is hard to believe because they're already careening so fast, but things seem to be accelerating. But maybe we'll have a pause. Maybe there'll be nothing significant that happens for the next few months. Oh, wait, I forgot the Manafort trial's about to start.
Oh, yeah. That won't cause any fireworks.
No, none at all. Yeah, so that's next week, I believe. We're done with this show.
So wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so didn't Giuliani said that this thing was going to be over in a... When did he say that this...
You looked it up last week. It was going to be done in 2 weeks, and he said that in, like, April or something.
Right. What happened with that? Another thing. Where's Giuliani? I haven't heard from him in a while.
He's been kind of quiet lately.
Oh.
And Cohen's been kind of quiet.
Well, yeah. Well, apparently he's... Apparently cooperating.
Potentially, yeah.
That's more, you know, I mean, the statements that he did, that Cohen did on in general, like he said, I'm not going to roll over something about, I'm not going to protect anybody or anything. I mean, made you feel like, what the fuck's he holding, right?
Well, because he feels like he was fucked over by Trump.
Right.
So, which is another one of Trump's Achilles heels. He can't be loyal to anybody. So even his best friends who are helping him in all this, he ends up screwing them. And then they're like, well, fuck it then.
And apparently this guy had a lot of shit. Man, I'll tell you what. That's one thing I keep wondering. I'm like, oh boy, when are we going to find out what the hell Cohen was holding?
And meanwhile, I shouldn't let a whole show go without it too. There's still all kinds of kids separated from their families. That's still going on. They haven't been meeting deadlines.
Oh, yeah. We got that fucking mess.
You know, so this whole thing is a shit show. And by the way, you know, we told you so.
Yes, we did.
You know, back during the 2016 campaign, every time we talked about this, you know, we talked about how we hoped it wouldn't happen. You know, the odds right before the election were only like 14%, according to everything. But, first of all, I was clear it wasn't impossible. There was a good chance, you know, be surprised, but not shocked or whatever it was I said. But bottom line, we kept talking about how we'd have an incredible shit show if we had Donald Trump because of all sorts of different reasons. And more to the point, fucking Hillary Clinton said so. In directly, yes. You keep seeing these clips from the debates.
God, the clip. I mean, there is this one clip.
The puppet clip.
It was prophetic to the T.
Look, Putin, from everything I see, has no respect for this person.
Well, that's because he'd rather have a puppet as president of the United States.
No puppet.
And it's pretty clear.
You're the puppet.
It's pretty clear you won't admit
that the
Russians have engaged in cyber attacks against the United States of America, that you encouraged espionage against our people, that you are willing to spout the Putin line, sign up for his wish list, break up NATO, do whatever he wants to do, and that you continue to get help from him because he has a very clear favorite in this race.
Yeah. The puppet clip was just like, it's just spot on with what's going on right now. Anyway.
But some people still say to this day, oh, well, she's worse than Trump.
Hey, but Yvonne, if she hadn't screwed over Bernie, yeah.
Oh, no. We'd all be good. Email server. She hadn't, you know.
Oh, the email server. Yeah.
Use the email server, which now we find apparently was the most fucking secure email server of all anyway.
Hmm. Well, yeah. Anyway, there's all kinds of bullshit going on with people still talking about the email server and how the FBI never took possession and blah, blah, blah. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit.
It's all just complete, utter bullshit.
And there have been deconstructions posted on it. But bottom line is the FBI got all the disk images and everything else. They got exactly what they needed from a forensic point of view. Anyway, whatever. I think we're done for today, Yvonne.
Yeah, we're done. All right.
So thank you, everybody, for watching, listening. Thank you for listening. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening to Curmudgeon's Corner this week. You know the deal. Facebook.com/Curmudgeon's Corner. Comment there. Like us. Share with your friends. Twitter, I'm at Abulsme, ABULSME. Yvonne is at IMBOU, IMBOU. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Throw us a couple bucks as sort of a tip if you really like the show and enjoy it.
And if you'd like to deposit $1 million in the account, we'll gladly accept it as well.
It'll help with our basic expenses.
Yes, it will.
And that would help quite a lot with our basic expenses.
Yes, it would.
If you donate $2 a month or more, or contribute to the show in other interesting ways, you can potentially get access to our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where we chat all week long about what's going on and share links to stories and other things, and talk about stuff, the same kind of stuff we talk about on the show and other things occasionally. So that's a lot of fun. We'd like more people to join there. It'd be cool, interesting. So raise your hand if you're interested. Except I won't be able to see you. So give us money instead, and then I'll let you on.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Goodbye, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. We're out of here.
Bye.